I have three young black female colleagues who were quite cross with me when I told them that I was going to be inviting Lerato Shabalala into the studio this afternoon to discuss her book. She's been a columnist for quite a while. She's been a magazine editor. She's been in corporate South Africa. She's done lots of things, but her most recent thing is the publication of a book called The Way I See It, The Musings of a Black Woman in the Rainbow Nation. And the book was extracted in the Sunday Times and in City Press a couple of weekends ago, and the extract was taken from a chapter which deals with black service providers in the maintenance field. And Lerato says she's had terrible experiences with just about every black service provider, and in future she ends the chapter with something along the lines of, in future when I want a job done, I'm looking for somebody with blue eyes. And I'm not welcome, first of all. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, John.
I'm not much on social media, but apparently that went crazy. You took an extraordinary amount of abuse for those views.
I trended, I think, for 6 hours on Sunday and then about 72 hours after that. Yes, it was quite a big thing.
And it was overwhelmingly negative.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there were people who were saying they were in support of it, but I would say that that was 20%. 80% of it was just people incredibly angry about it.
With any justification? It's a fairly gross generalization.
Yeah, of course it is. I think the book itself is a book about our stereotypes and what we think. When I worked as a columnist, one of the things we did at the Sunday Times was a column called En Passant, which is based on stereotypes. So satire is where I come from as a writer, and that is how I sort of approach this book. When it comes to the way people reacted to it, ironically, the first chapter in the book is about social media and how social media empowers people. So the fact that the book actually became sort of known by people because of social media goes to exactly what I say in the first chapter of the book, which is that social media has given people the power to express themselves, which is a wonderful thing.
And very few of them choose to express themselves with any kind of productive positivity.
Unfortunately.
The book's front page says, warning guaranteed to offend. And then at the end of the preface, there is, where is it? I don't expect you will think, I don't think you will like everything I have to say, but I prefer it that way, rather react negatively than be apathetic. And you also say, I just can't find it anymore, I left my book at home. But that you indicate that you perhaps want the book to have some kind of impact on society and the way society functions. Can you do both? Can you guarantee that you're going to offend people and at the same time still expect to make a positive contribution?
That's hard to say. I think my job as a journalist and as a writer is to be on the side of truth, and the book is based on truth. It's not a universal truth. It's not the gospel. It's not a dissertation. But what it is the way that I, as a writer and a black South African woman, observe South Africa. I think that if anything, once we have everything out on the table, I mean, particularly this year with everything that has happened in this country, it allows us to have a more honest, constructive conversation. People were very shocked that I wrote a book like this, because on Twitter, which is where most of the outrage happened, you don't know my politics, because I don't believe that you can express yourself in 140 characters and make a very good point. I'm still an old hand journalist. I carry a notebook. I'm quite
but
tactile.
But you can spend an hour and a half in bed completely fascinated by your Instagram and other people's Instagram account, which is not exactly old-fashioned journalism.
No, of course, but I'm talking in particular to Twitter, which is based not necessarily on words and pictures. I mean, on words, but more. I mean, on pictures, but mostly words. I still think that people should be allowed to think whatever they think, and to express their opinions. I have very strong opinions in that book, so it makes sense that people are acted the way that they acted.
I mean, I wonder how many people look. I think it's fair enough to react to that column or to that chapter or the extract from the chapter that was used by the two newspapers. Because I also, when I read just that page in the Sunday Times, I thought, "Wow, well, you know, come on!" The vast majority of jobs that I've had done have been done well by black people, overseen by a white boss. The work is actually done by a black electrician or a black plumber. And some of the worst experiences I've had have been with white-owned, white-managed contractors. And I was also a little cross about that.
I mean, and that's why I say that if you haven't read the previous chapters where, excuse me, not the previous chapters, but the previous pages that precede those last two pages, I say in there that I have often contributed to the problem of black service providers not being paid well. There's a lot, and particularly in my community with black people, we have a tendency to want to negotiate the person down if they say the service is going to cost 5,000 rand. You know, we want to say, oh, but why don't you give it to me for 2,000 rand? And whenever you do that, you're saying to somebody, you don't want to pay for the best service. You actually want to pay for the bare minimum. So that's what you're going to get. So of course I would get bad service. Mm. I don't want to pay for it. So a lot of it is about me also saying what has been my contribution to the stereotype that is out there. And what happened after that is that I decided to put my money where my mouth is, to actually pay for good service from black service providers who are excellent. And it has been great. So the clothes that I wear and my hair and my nails are all done by black people who are excellent.
I wonder if when it comes to black women, there is a greater expectation that black women conform to certain stereotypes than there might be an expectation of black men or white women. Because, I mean, the chapter on sex is quite eyebrow raising and, you know, the grooming and all of that stuff. You really do lay it all on the line. And is there perhaps an expectation, and perhaps this is part of the reason why some people are reacting negatively to the kinds of things you say, is that black women are expected either to be corporate and ambitious, climbing the ladder, breaking that glass ceiling, taking on the patriarchy, or they're expected to be political activists, or they're expected to be gender activists working for an organization which is taking on the patriarchal impact on the lives of women and children who are violated a lot of the time. And when a black woman like you chooses to be something completely different, they go, hold on a second, you're not allowed to do this.
Exactly. And that is exactly at the heart of what it is. Somebody said to me, oh, you're such a contradiction. And I said, but I'm a product of South Africa. This is where I am. I'm from Soweto in Johannesburg, where I had to take a 2-hour taxi ride to go to the other side, which is the northern suburbs, and exist in both worlds seamlessly. That is not easy. And what that does to you psychologically is create a sort of a schizophrenia. And as opposed to before, when I was younger in my 20s, where it was a problem and something that sort of filled me with angst, I now welcome it because I think that we're individuals first. Do you know what I mean? But I do think that there is a way that you must sound and be as a black woman. And if you are not that, there is a sense that you are now going against the grain. I don't think I go against the grain. I think this is just who I am. And I think there are many people like me.
So the chapters on grooming and sex, for example, if those had been written by Dorothy Black on News 24, nobody would have turned a hair.
No.
But because they're written by somebody with a name like Lerato Tshabalala,
which was a thing.
Positions you as a black person, obviously. Yeah.
My mother said to me, John, I am so glad your father's no longer here, because my father died 2.5 years ago. She says, I'm very glad he's not here because I don't think he would have appreciated the chapter where you talk about landscaping your nether regions. And I said to her, you know, I don't think I would have written this book if he was here, simply because he, you know, he's the father of a black woman who's decided to just say my truth. But at the same time, it's the reality, you know. That's how sex is. That's how it has been for me and many other women. As I say, though, it's my truth is not a universal truth, but I think it does touch on certain people who've experienced the same kind of life that I have.
So you feel your primary responsibility is to your truth.
It's to be
the
on the side of
truth in your life, rather than to be a role model to somebody who, given the public platform that she has, she's earned it through all the work that you've done, to use that to make, in inverted commas, more responsible comments about society.
Yeah, because it's not very often that this kind of book gets written by somebody who's like me, who's a black woman. I decided I wanted to swear in this book. I wanted to write the book the way I speak, which is an incredibly dangerous thing, because in South Africa, you know, you either write a memoir or you sound incredibly smart and you've, you know, very well traveled and whatever it is. And I just thought, I'm just going to talk about what it's like to wake up here every single day as a South African. Sometimes you may be white and agree with me, and you may be black and disagree with me, or the other way around. But ultimately, this is the country that I live in. I'm invested in this country. I want to be here. I don't want to leave, but I'm also not going to lie about the things that we're not getting right, including how stereotypical we are about each other.
So now, I was at a seminar in Grahamstown during the festival there, which was looking at hashtag politics and student activism, and there were two very angry young black female activists, and they were getting plenty of support from the students in the audience, who quite clearly came from that must-fall background as well, until one of these young black activists started saying, one of the things we need to do is start confronting black mediocrity. We have to look at the governance of municipalities in the Northwest and say, why is it that this is being allowed to happen? And all of a sudden, the support which had been there for her was instantly withdrawn because she was speaking out of turn.
Mm. Exactly. And to call out black mediocrity, John, this is what people don't understand, is not to say people are not allowed to mess up, but is to own up to the things that we do wrong. Okay, you do this, and I say this, you do this in a business, you do a SWOT analysis, you figure out what are your threats, what are you doing wrong, what are your weaknesses. You cannot get to a place where you exceed what is expected of you by being average. You know, it goes back to even the 37% pass rate. We can find other ways to dress it up and call it something else. But what it is actually saying people don't understand over half of what they learn. I would never get on a plane with somebody who does not understand half the machine that's in the cockpit. Why would that be? Why is it okay that our pupils are being passed through school? It's mediocrity just, you know, breeds contempt. We know this. It's terrible.
Dion has SMS'd to say, Lerato, I think you're beautiful and I cannot wait to read your books.
Thank you very much, Dion.
And thank you very much for coming in and for having written a book. I know it's going to be controversial. As people read further chapters, some of them are going to respond in the way that they responded to that extracted version around black service providers, but I think your shoulders are broad enough to take it.
Thank you very much. Coming from you, that is a wonderful thing. Thank you for having me.
Lerato Shabalala, The Way I See It, The Musings of a Black Woman in the Rainbow Nation. It's published by Penguin. Thanks.